Well, I'm so excited to be introducing our guest speaker today. I had the privilege of meeting Pastor Dominic Yeo, I don't know, maybe like 6 or 7 years ago. And the Lord gave him a heart for Chrissy and I and for our church, and they visited immediately. At the time, he was the lead pastor of Trinity Christian Fellowship in Singapore, and also the general superintendent of the Assembly of God churches in that nation. Since he's been called to something so much higher, he resigned from being the lead pastor of that church and is now the chairman of the World Assemblies of God Fellowship, which is a little less, I believe, than 800 million believers. And the Lord has given him immense responsibility. He carries an immense call, and he travels from nation to nation influencing leaders. Yet we are favored because he is one of the overseers of this church. Over the course of the next day or two, I'm presenting to him what we're praying about. He knows what we're doing. He's praying for us. I have access to him. I can't tell you how blessed Chrissy and I feel, all of the leaders, to have him in our lives and over us and speaking into what we're doing. Could we really honor him today as he comes? Come on, let's put our hands together for Pastor Dominic Yeo.
Come on, let's give Jesus the loudest applause. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful day that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for Chicago Tabernacle, for Philadelphia Tabernacle. We thank you, Lord, for in the ensuing days, there will be more tabernacles that will be established for your glory. We thank you, Father, for a church that does not just look inwards, but a church that looks outwards to the dying world around us, recognizing the time and the season we are in, and that we have to do much work before Jesus returns. And so, Father, help us today. I pray for everyone that is here, those that are watching us through digital space. I pray for those that are watching through Trinity Broadcast TV, that you will minister to them right now. We pray, Father, this morning that this word will be a clear word, a sure word, a relevant word to every man and woman. And then let a divine exchange take place at the close of this service. And so we give you thanks, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen, amen. Come on, give Jesus another big hand. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, it's a privilege to be here with Pastor El and Pastor Chrissy. It's been wonderful since we have met, and God has given us such a divine connection. I feel so connected to this church, and I feel like it is important to see the kingdom of God expand through this body. And so when I first heard about Philadelphia Tabernacle, I was excited. I was excited because I know God is about to do greater works in and through all of you. Amen? Say to the person beside you, get ready for the greater. Yeah. Well, since we connected, God has done great things. And what a privilege to be able to meet the staff once every 2 to 3 months online as much as I can. And this time traveling with me is my son, and what a privilege for him to be back in the U.S. This is his second time in the U.S. The first time he came was about 20 years ago. He met. And, I brought them to Anaheim, you know, my daughter and him. My daughter lives in Australia with my granddaughter, and so it's a pain. It takes me 7 hours to fly there to see them. Yeah, and then, but having my son here, which is great. My wife is with my daughter because she's expecting the second child to come in November. So it's good to have met with me and for him to see what I'm doing, you know, here in the U.S. and then in Colombia. I started my journey this time. I was about maybe a month ago. I was in Birmingham, where we have our church there, Trinity at Birmingham, and preaching in the United Kingdom. And then from there, traveled through the Europe to Romania, and then to Moldova, where I had the privilege of meeting up with the president, and we had a certain very important conversation about Christianity and about trade, and then and about where the Assemblies of God is. And then from Moldova, I flew over to Africa, Ghana, where we had our executive council meeting, planning for the global world of the Assemblies of God. The Assemblies of God is one of the largest populous nations of the world. If I can bring all of the members of the Assemblies of God together, we would easily fill a lot of nations. So we thank God for that. And then from Africa, I flew over to... where did I fly to? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I flew all the way to Brazil. So I was in Sao Paulo for about 4 days, speaking to the Assemblies of God in Brazil. And then from there, went to Peru. And I was in this place called Tingo Maria. Any Peruvians here? Any Peruvians here? Yeah, yeah. So I was in your country. And I was in Tingo Maria, which means I was in the Amazon. And after preaching that Sunday, we went to the airport expecting to fly. But the flight decided to fly 2 hours before. Yeah, so it was 2 hours before the scheduled flight. And when I arrived, I saw the plane on the tarmac and the plane was taking off. Yeah, and so I had to stay back for another 3 days. And then from there, flew to the stateside. So last week, I was preaching in Sacramento, and quite an amazing thing, I preached at the launch of the Missions Month. And so they too are having a Missions Month, and I'm so glad to be here this week to be with you guys. And pray for us. Next week, we'll be in Colombia. Yeah. How many Colombians here? How many Colombians here? Oh, yeah, I see some of you. Yeah, I'm going to be in Barranquilla, and then it's going to be a powerful time. Well, without any further ado, I want us to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. And I'm just going to focus a little bit of time there. And then I want to open the altars for us to experience God, to encounter Him as we look at Matthew chapter 28. The theme for this whole season is to give and go, isn't it? Yeah, I want to add another G to it. You know, G is a very important number, a very important alphabet, because G stands for God. G stands for the gospel. And between God and the gospel, the common alphabets are G-O, isn't it? Yeah, and so we're talking about going. But I want to add one more G there, and it's not God. I want to talk about give, go, and gather. And it's interesting that you guys have already gathered in prayer. And we're just going to talk a little bit about it. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Notice this, make disciples of all nations. And the last time I look into a dictionary for this word, all means all, isn't it? All does not mean some, all. And it's the expectation of Jesus as he spoke to the disciples just before he ascended. And it's interesting because in 2033, we will be celebrating the 2,000 years since Jesus ascended. Amen. Yeah. And so for the Assemblies of God worldwide body, we are embarking on this ambitious goal to plant 1 million churches for his glory. So the World Assemblies of God Fellowship around the world, we are embarking on this movement. And take, for instance, like Ghana in the last 2 years have already planted 540-some churches. Germany, for that matter, and we think about Germany, and sometimes we think that Europe is a dead place, but God is doing something in Europe. Germany in the last 5 months have planted some 50 churches. All right, so God is doing a great work. So I'm here just to share with you what God is doing. And Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so it is very important today that we get the full counsel of the gospel and not just an aspect of the gospel. Amen. You know, a lot of churches preach just a certain aspect without the other aspect of it. And I'm glad CT is talking about the other aspect of the gospel, which has to do with missions. And it is important that we obey everything that he has commanded us. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And that's why I support Liverpool Football Club. Yeah, because Jesus says, I will be with you, so you'll never walk alone. And this is just for Tom and for everyone who supports the rest of the other English Premier League. Now, missions is a topic that is very close to God. Yeah. And we're going to look into it as we dive into this number of verses. Missions is the very heart of God. Missions is the very heart of God. You know, a lot of people who comes to church, sometimes we come to church and we are in survival mode. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, don't raise your hands. Yeah. Because it's true. I mean, I have pastored different kinds of churches. I mean, it was wonderful. In 18 years, I pastored Trinity, a church that went from 2,000 to 10,000. I mean, it's tremendous growth. I've pastored churches that were dying. I was just sharing with Pastor L when I went to Vancouver, British Columbia. It was a thriving church of 300 C-suites people. How many of you know what I'm talking about, C-suites? Yeah, so which means it's 300 plus people who are CEO, CFO, COO, and all the whatever O's there are and C's. And it was a power-packed church that ended up splitting five ways, five times in the history of it. Within a span of 3.5 years, the church broke up five times. Because when you have power people who are not disciple, who have not obeyed everything God has commanded, and then it's a dangerous place. So I went into a church like that was dying, that has split five times over 3.5 years. And I took over a motley crew of about 15 people. Trust me. You know, it was a small group that I took over. And we had to work very hard to grow that church. And so, and when I went there, the church was actually a survival mode. And when we are a survival mode, we don't like to hear about missions. We like to hear about how God's going to provide for me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, don't raise your hands. Yeah, yeah. Because there are some of us that comes to church thinking that way. And as a result of the poverty in our life, listen here, as a result of the poverty in our life, we've allowed the spirit of poverty to impoverize us. And so we don't want to hear about missions. But missions is important because mission is the very heartbeat of God. And you're going to understand that in a moment. But let me just say, missions is the very heart of God. Missions is the very agenda of Jesus Christ. The agenda of Christ is about missions. And that's why it is very important to talk about it. And anytime we talk about missions, and anytime we want to step into missions, you're going to find that there is a devil that will confront us. And I want us to understand something. If the devil's confronting you, it means you are alive. If you are not going through a hard time and the devil is not giving you a hard time, I want you to consider for a moment, maybe you are a dead Christian. Yeah, if you are alive and kicking for Jesus Christ, he's gonna come and do something to your life because he hates it, like our brother that was sharing. And so I want us to understand missions is the agenda of heaven. You see, friends, CT, listen here very carefully. You and I cannot be followers of Jesus Christ if we are not engaged in missions. Yeah. We cannot say we are followers. We cannot say we follow Christ without engaging in missions. If we are not engaging in missions, we're actually serving ourselves. Missions is really learning to take our eyes off ourselves and setting our eyes on the needs of a dying world. And that's what missions is all about. So my first point that I want to talk about in terms of missions for us this morning is that number one, go is not an option. Tell the person beside you, going is not an option. Yeah. Go is not an option. Yeah. I know in some countries of the world, you know, the red light, it's only a suggestion. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When I was pastoring in Vancouver, BC, I used to, a couple of times I drove the whole entire I-5, Interstate 5, from Vancouver straight down to the border. From Vancouver across the border to the US, go straight down, all the way down, and over a span of 2 days, because we make a stop, we cross over into Tijuana. And when I go into Tijuana, sometimes I'm wondering, and could you imagine me driving in Tijuana, in Baja California, and I'm wondering because it's red, and I stop, and the cars are passing me by. Yeah. So for them, red is, it's just a suggestion. But I want us to understand, in the kingdom of God, go is not an option. Yeah, God mandates for us to go because going is the very command of heaven. And that's why Jesus, before he ascended, could you imagine the last words of Jesus Christ before he ascended? Is to go into the world. We all understand this. When one of our loved ones right now is in a hospital with tubes all over, and you know they are in their dying moments before they slip into eternity. And in those moments, it is very crucial for us as a loved ones to hover over them and to spend those last moments, isn't it? And as you and I spend those last moments, many times, because I've been there many times with different families, I could hear them asking, "Dad, Mom, or sweetheart, what is it that you want to say to us?" And those parting shots, those last words are very important words. Because for the person lying there, knowing he's going to slip into eternity, he would have taken into account everything he wanted to say, because he understood that he may not have the strength to say everything he wants to say. So generally, they summarized it into a very important statement. And for the rest of us who are living, we want to hear what they have to say, because those are important, isn't it? And so in the same way, Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, would have calculated, would have put together everything before he ascended to heaven. And his last words were, "All authority in heaven has been given unto me. Therefore, go, go, go." So going is the very command of Jesus before he ascended to heaven. Because going is not a suggestion. Number two, going is so that you and I can activate the authorities of heaven. Jesus says, "All authority is given to me, therefore go." Which means when he said to us, go, he's saying, because I have all authority, I'm going to delegate the authority to you. And when you go, you activate that authority of God in your life. You see, as long as you remain, listen here, as long as you remain, you only hear the stories of the miraculous. But until you go, you activate the miraculous, because now you are activating the authority. In every one of you, resident in every one of us sitting here and watching online, God has placed his authority of heaven into our life. But many times we fail to actualize it because we have not gone to the communities, because we have not gone to those that are needy, because we have not gone to a nation. So I believe that in the coming days, many of us need to make the journey of going from CT to somewhere else, to a particular country that your church is actively involved with, or even across state line, to a to a community where we can touch and you will see the authority of God activated through you. Are you hearing me? When I first came into full-time ministry, the first country I went to was actually Indonesia. I went to Central Java. And when I went to Central Java, we were there for 3 weeks doing crusade meetings. So I was part of a missions impact team. And since then, Trinity every year has easily 100 missions impact team. And I want you, an interesting for us in Singapore is that when we publish the missions impact trip, we'll tell everybody to sign up. I want you to know, from the moment the counter is open for the sign up, within 5 minutes, all 100 trips are taken up. Yeah. Because the Singapore believers understood that if we're going to trigger the authority of God in our life, we need to go. So I went on this first missions trip to Central Java. And we went to five cities. In the first city, at the first night after the big meeting, lots of people came forward for healing. And we started praying for a lot of people. And we saw how God has given us authority over demons, authority over sicknesses. And we saw the healing, miraculous healing. But there was a particular lady, two eyes, one nose, one mouth, was on one side of the face. Yeah. Could you imagine that? I mean, she was the most hideous looking woman I've ever seen in my entire life. Yeah. We came, we prayed over her. Nothing happens. Testimony times, different ones came up and talked about what God has done for them. And we all clapped. And here comes this woman, two eyes, one nose, one mouth on the side of her face. She came up, picked the mic up and said, "I want to thank God for touching me." And I was, and you know, I was like the team, like, "Hey, ain't nothing happened." And then she gone off. Every night, for 3 nights, she came out and said the same things. We felt like, every time she goes out, we feel like telling the guys on the mic, you know. Quickly, we packed up, went to the next town. Went to the next town, had a great service, gave the altar call, and everyone came up for healing. So did this woman. She went from that town to this second town. And again, we prayed for her, nothing happened. With great authority, we prayed, nothing happens. Yet she came up on the mic, took the mic and said, "I want to thank God for healing me." I mean, we were dying. We were dying. We were like, "Hey, there ain't no healing." For 3 nights in a row in the second town, she did the same. We went to the third town and we say, "Oh, good riddance." Whew. And then we started the crusade meeting. And guess who arrived? The same lady. Two eyes, one nose, one mouth on one side of the face. She did that. I want you to know, 5 towns, she went to all of our meetings. On the last night, by this time, the Trinity team calls her Dom's girlfriend. Because I'm the only one that prays for her. Nobody wants to pray for her. So says, "Dom's girlfriend is here." So I said to the team, I said, "We're all going to now step out and activate faith. Activate authority, kick the demon out of this woman." And I want you to know, as we were praying on that final night, a super miraculous healing took place when God creatively, regeneratively moved her face. You hear it, you say it's incredible. Some of you who are sitting here will be skeptics and say, "No, that didn't happen." I challenge you, go to missions, activate the authority, and you will have your own story to tell. Yeah. So going is not a suggestion, it's not an option. We have to go. When you go, you activate the authority of heaven. Because if you don't go, there is no need for authority. Hello? But if you want to see the authority of God realized, then it is important for you to sign up and say to Pastor L, "I'm signing up to go. Send us for a week." Yeah. Go for a week And then you come back. I want you to know, you walk in greater authority. Yeah. You see, go is our only way towards growth and progression. You want inner growth? You want to see growth takes place in your life? I don't know about you. Some of us, if my Christian life is same old, I'd rather be dead. I'd rather Jesus just take me home. Yeah. I don't know about you. I will be dissatisfied. Do you understand what I'm saying? I will be extremely dissatisfied if I do not go. But if I do go by going for a mission trip, going to a community right here downtown that needs Jesus, and you go across and you minister to them, I want you to know something happens on the inside of you. God begins the growth process. See, that's why Jesus said to the 11 of them, therefore go. Because he knew that it was important for them. Because if they stayed, they would not have experienced personal growth. And then the kingdom of God would not have the dynamic growth. Think about it. 11 disciples went, and today 600 million believers in the world. If they chose to stay, Christianity would not be where it is today. 26% to 30% of the world knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Yeah. As a result of 11 that went. So could you imagine in this room, if all of you says we're going to go, do you know the impact we're going to make on a global scale? So I challenge you today to consider. My second point is, as you go, going also is giving. So go equals give is our response. To go is to give. And giving is the right response. Because John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Yeah. See, God's way is to go. And his way of going is by giving us Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's just the way of God. How many of you read John chapter 10 verse 10? How many of you can recite John chapter 10 verse 10? If you can, at a count of three, recite it. One, two, three. It's only the pastoral stuff. What's happening here? What's happening here? This is an indictment against the pastor's realm. So, church, listen up. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? I come that you might have life and life abundantly. You see, the way of Christ is that he comes that you and I experience life. The only way to experience life is to understand who Jesus claimed himself to be. Do you know that Jesus claimed himself to be the way, the truth, and the life? So Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly, right? True, yes or no? But in order to actualize life and abundant life, you got to start with the way. Because if you and I follow the way of Christ, we will walk in the truth of Christ. And when you and I walk in the truth of Christ, we will have the life of Christ. Amen? And I suspect for a lot of people, we are living life not at the life of Christ. We are living life at this level. So in order to move forward to this level, it is important, therefore, to consider the way. And God's way is always to give. Therefore, go equals giving, which is our response. Because God's way is that he gave his only son. And I want you to understand that he did not just give his son, but he gave his only son. Which means he gave of his best, of his best. He gave the creme de la creme. So, I want to challenge you, CT. Because I know in the ensuing weeks, when we come to it, where Pastor Elton Garrison, who is one of my good friends, who was the former assistant superintendent of the Assemblies of God USA, and he will be preaching, and you guys are going to have this massive faith promise. I want you guys to give of your best. It's not the dollar quantum we're interested about. It is about the best. Because can God trust you with you giving the best? Because if you can give your best, God will take care of your rest. That's just the way it is. We see a lot of us, we look at it and we say, I'm not sure I can give that kind of amount. But listen. Jesus says, go into the world. And to go means to give. You have to give yourself, you have to give your resources, you have to give your time. And when you give of the best, I want you to know giving triggers. Giving is a trigger towards breakthrough. How many of you understands that? You want to experience the miracle of God, giving is the only way. That's why, in fact, when you read through the gospel, there's so much that talks about giving. If you use the word give as your filter and you go through the gospel, you are going to be shocked at how many times God talks about giving. Giving is the way of God. You go through the Old Testament in the story of Elijah and Elisha. And I love it. I love the fact that every time the Bible records the story about giving, it's always about somebody who's poor, somebody who's at the end of the line, somebody who's trying to survive. I love it. The Bible never talks about the rich giving. It's always about how the poor and how the downpressed is giving. And it's always about the miracles that follows as a result of that. Because giving is God's way. And God's way is the only way for us to experience breakthrough and the miraculous. But if you don't want breakthrough, you don't want the miraculous, you want the same old, fine, don't give. Yeah. Amen. You see, in the coming weeks, you're going to make a faith promise. My son, he's 29 today, still single. All right, I shall not embarrass him, or else he's going to kill me. See, everywhere I go, I advertise for him. When he was 4 years old, all right, send in your particulars. When he was 4 years old in Sunday school, he filled up a missions faith promise. Pastor L and Pastor Chrissy, I want you to know, he wrote up a faith promise card and he still remembers the story, 500. And the Sunday school teacher came up to him and asked him, did you miss a couple of decimal points to be $5? He said, no. Did you miss one decimal point to be $50? He said, no. So the teacher asked him, how much? He said, $500. The teacher asked him, do you have money? He said, no. So the teacher asked him, so how are you going to give? How are you going to pay up for this? Daddy will pay for it. The Sunday school teacher came up to me and Chinin after the service and said, I want you to know your son wrote a faith promise card of $500 and he says, you are paying for it. I said to the Sunday school teacher, well, I'm not sure I'm going to pay for it, but because he had faith in me, well, I guess I'm going to have to fulfill it for him. But that's not the end of the story. The following week, Chinin and I came to church. And as we were at the lobby of the church, and we only had two elevators that were going up and it was crowded. People were going up to the service. And we kind of, as pastors, let the people go first. And so now we're trying to get in. And a man ran in. A man ran into church. And he said, hey, you, stop there. And so I just turned around. And I've never seen this guy from Adam. Never knew him. And he says, I saw you in a dream last night. And I'm okay. Now, I'm getting worried. I see, I don't have securities like this guy's. Or else we would have bounced him out of church. So I looked at this guy and he's a weirdo. I'm about to punch him. Trust me, I have a taekwondo black belt, a couple of dans. I did my taekwondo grading in Korea, so I was about to hit him. Because he was coming close to me and he looks really like a weirdo with this messenger bag sling around him. He said, no, wait, pastor. You're a pastor? I said, yes. He said, I saw you in my dream last night. And then he opens up his messenger bag, took out a wedge of $50 bills in Singapore currency, shoved it into my hand, and he says, I'm told to give this to you. I took the money, I thanked him, and then he ran out. He didn't even come to church. Goodness gracious me. And then as he turned to run off, he said to me, by the way, it's not for you. It's for your son. So Chidin and I, I was standing there counting, and my wife said, honey, don't you think you should go to the corner and count it? You know, so we went to the corner, we were counting. You know how much it was? $500. Daddy, not this daddy, the real daddy paid for it. That's what a faith promise is all about. A faith promise is you saying, I'm activating faith to believe God for this amount, and I promise that when you give it to me, I'm going to give it to the church for missions. That was the start of a miraculous breakthrough for him. And I believe God wants to do the same for you. But you see, you got to go to activate the authority. You got to give to trigger this open door to the miraculous and to your breakthrough in missions. You see, a lot of times we are very concerned about ourselves. We are survivor thinkers. But God doesn't want you to be striving. God wants you to thrive. Just drop the S and you'll be thrive. Yeah. We are striving. That's not God's way. God's way is to give, so it shall be given back unto you, pressed down, shaken, running over. That's thriving. Finally, go without gathering in prayer is weakness. When we don't gather, then it is weakness. And that's the third G. Go gift. But we need to gather. See, gathering is raising a shield. Your pastor's travel. I mean, I spoke to Pastor L last night during dinner. There are places I want him to go to. There are places that I need to send him to. But he cannot go alone. That's why you never walk alone. He needs the church to be behind him. The church needs to be gathering in prayer whenever he's going. Whenever any of your pastors are going, the church needs to gather. When there is a team that is sent out from here, the church needs to be gathering. Why? Because you are raising a prayer shield. You need a prayer shield. That's the protection for your pastors and for the team. When you gather in prayer, prayer is retreating the enemy. Yeah. It is an offense against the enemy. You guys know American football, there are two teams. So you need that team to be playing the offense, isn't it? So we need a team to play the offense, to start praying so that we can retreat the enemy. Because every time you retreat the enemy, you are serving an eviction order to the enemy to get out of this place. To get out of this place. You need to pray. Praying is to reinforce our authority. That's why we stand our ground, to reinforce. Finally, prayer is really triggering the miraculous. Yeah. When you pray, you will see the miraculous. Every time you go, you trigger the authority. Every time you give, you trigger the provision of heaven. But every time you gather, you are going to experience the miracle. Are you hearing me? So I believe God is raising CT into the miraculous through these missions. Yes. I will close with this story. Trinity was 300 strong. some 40-something years ago. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary. So some 50 plus, some 40, 47 years ago, Trinity was a 300-man church. We were surviving. We were a church that was just surviving in Singapore. And the worst part of it was that it is now pastored by a single female pastor from the USA, Reverend Naomi Dowdy. There were three missionary couples before her, each taking a year, and she came on a fourth year. And the church was 300 trying to survive. We don't have facilities. We were renting facilities. And then she says, next month, we're going to have a missions faith promised. The church fought her. We lost half the church. We lost half. We lost the church board as well. Half of the church board left with half of the members because they refused to give. Because they says, we're trying to survive, and how can we think about missions? And Reverend Naomi Dowdy says, we've got to do the things of God so that God can do our thing. We've got to be concerned with the heart of God. And so in that first faith promise, we raised $35,000. Our first extremely humble amount, but it was quite a huge amount for us because many of us were students and young adults, young working adults. There wasn't a lot of families. In fact, the families left with that half of the board. Today, in Trinity's history, at least during my tenure for the last 18 years, and I know this last March, they just had their missions faith promise, we raised over $8 million for missions. Friends, this is on top of tithe and offerings. On top of our tithe and offering, we raised $8 million in a month of March. September, that was last month, they raised another $8+ million for our capital campaign for the local church. I share that story with you so that I can inspire you. Because I believe if you walk in God's way, God will prosper you. God will enable you. You become part of the miracle of God for your life and for the nations of the world. There's a world that is dying. We are living in the last days. The Bible tells us in the last days there will be wars and rumors of war. Government will rise against government. There will be floods. There will be earthquakes. There will be natural disasters. We just saw Helene and Milton, Hurricane Milton, devastate the East Coast. We are in the last days. We are living in the last days. What will you do with the time that you have right now that you and I can salvage, that you and I can salvage for the Lord? Let's salvage the remaining time before Jesus comes and bring as many people with us into the kingdom of God. That's why we have to go. We have to give. And let's gather in prayer.